from Northern California. It's the Penpals.buzz Prison Pen Pal Podcast. Hear real stories from real inmates who want to write to you. Now, here's your host, Big Steve.
Yeah, I'm here. Hang on, I gotta get the phone.
Hello, this is a free call from
Benjamin,
a client at the secure treatment facility at St. Peter, Minnesota. To accept this free call, press 0. Calls are subject to monitoring and may be recorded. Your call will now be connected.
It's Ben Alverson.
Hello? Howdy.
Or should I do it this way?
Benjamin Alverson.
No, that's fine.
All right.
Let's go just traditional.
It's so good to hear from you again, man. Benjamin Alverson, Ben Alverson from St. Peter, Minnesota. You were on the show back in, I think, July or August. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a minute. Today, I'd kind of like to talk a little bit more about myself and, kind of let the folks know a little bit more beyond what my profile says, you know, who I am and what they can expect. And
right, because you only get, like, how many words? I don't know, 400 words or 800 words or however many. It's not enough to tell.
Yeah.
49 yep. years old, and you can't really sum that up in 800 words, because that would be, like,
really?
About 18 words per year or something. So how did Ben Alverson come to be?
Well, obviously, it's been a lot of life experiences, some favorable, some not so favorable. As far as my family is concerned, I've got two younger sisters, both fantastic. I'm still in touch with them on a weekly basis, sometimes more often than that. They've got about 6 kids between the two of them, all homeschooled. The second youngest is named after me, which that was a very humbling, sobering call to get when I found that out. I've got one son myself. As far as I was reared kind of in a pretty conservative Christian home. I'm pretty strict. I attended multiple private schools up until about 9th grade. I think about 7 different schools in grade school. Joined the swim team and lettered in both backstroke and butterfly. As far as music goes, music lessons, I had piano lessons when I was like 6 or 7.
I hate to interrupt you. I know it's your show here, Ben, and I shouldn't talk about me, but my parents basically forced me to take piano lessons when I was, 7, 8, 9, 10, somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
The one song I got good at was The Rose by Bette Midler, which wasn't super cool when you're like a 9-year-old. So the piano teacher was like halfway between my house and the school. And the bullies would, like, chase me home, right? And I'd be, like, running, trying not to get beat up. And I'd take refuge at Mrs. Smith was her name, the piano teacher's front porch. If I could get to her front porch, I knew I wouldn't get my ass kicked that day. So,
yeah, I'm sorry that happened to you.
You're a well-known artist, I tell everybody in Minnesota. They call you Alfson. You're one of these guys that has one name now, right? You're like, I don't want to compare you to Diddy. That's the first name I thought was Diddy. I was like, no. Like Oprah or something. You're like a one-name person now.
Yeah.
You're Alfson.
There's a history behind that, briefly. My dad's side was Norwegian all the way back. And so 6 generations back, Alf Ingebrigtsen Vegan, or Vigen, depending on how you want to pronounce it. Traditionally, the way that son of or daughter of in Scandinavian tradition, it's like Alf son or son of Alf or Aslak's daughter, that kind of thing. And so, in honor of my ancestors, I figured, you know what? Alverson, somehow anglicized, Americanized, or whatever, used to be Alf's son or son of Alf. So, for my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, I just figured, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and take the moniker Alfson, or pen name, if you will, and it kind of rolls off. Alfson Art. Sounds really cool.
Were you doing art in school, or was that something you learned later in life?
No. Matter of fact, there's a nice, cute little story about that. So back when I was younger, I was drawing a snowmobile, and I showed my mom, and she's like, oh, well, you could probably do it like this or whatever. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I took it to Dad, and I said, hey, Dad, check it out. This is what I did. And he's like, oh, no. So...
You know that Harry Chapin song, Flowers Are Red and Green Leaves Are Green. There's no way to see flowers any other way, and stifles the creativity. But I guess if you're drawing something that doesn't make sense, you know, Dad's got to step in.
Yeah, well, and he's the guy, you know, he's the artist of the family. He's, you know, was into music and the arts. When I got into that, it was just, that was kind of what I immersed myself in. It was kind of an escape. It was also kind of a solace, you know, from some of that loneliness and disconnection with, you know, social peers and things like that.
You just sent us like a ton of photos. I know Daisy uploaded to your profile, which is at penpals.buzz/alfsonart, which is
Alfsonart.
It's like a whole portfolio there now on our site, which is super cool. Were some of these new creations, or were these some of your old-time favorites, or what do we have now on the site there?
Most of them that I do, like there's a portrait of my niece. I sent that to her. a painting of a fantasy sword. That is a gallery. There's a Good Morning. It's bright yellow. It's got a coffee cup on it. And if you look at the Steam, it says Wake Up.
I like that Good Morning.
Another one
that's one of my favorites, that Good Morning. And then there was one that was just like some really cool, it was like a hat, right? Was it like an upside down hat?
That one is actually in New Zealand.
Oh, is it really? Wow.
Yeah, fun story about that. So a while back, I had was looking for some pen pal connections, and there was this one guy out of New Zealand that had said he had a list. And so I wrote to him, and he sent my check back, said, hey, we're in New Zealand, we can't cash your check. And I thought, well, I'm not going to let that stand. So I sent him a painting of that hat, and the addition to it before sending it to him, I thought this was rather clever. So the hat was done, and then I thought, I'm going to send this to New Zealand. I'm going to go ahead and put a little kiwi next to the hat. So I did that, sent it off.
So if we had, like, friends in Australia, you could do, like, a painting and then do a blooming onion next to it, which would be cool. Go like Outback style.
I'm trying to reach out to Germany, England, Russia even. It would be fine. You know, I'm just trying to get it out there, just to really just socially connect with people as best I can, because I'm not personally able to describe my art. And so being able to send something out there to connect with somebody who might not just appreciate it, but able to kind of, you know, tell others about it is would be really awesome. There's a guy in Michigan that posted a note on my profile from Buzz that said, hey, I'd like to buy your stuff. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. Let's go ahead and make a call and make this happen. Interestingly, so what really kind of kicked this off is I sold my first commission actually here in facility. But it was a series of 12 by 12 inch black and whites. They were sitting up in the visiting room, and another individual had a visitor, and the visitor said, hey, I dig what's going on there. I'm paraphrasing now. I wasn't there. He said, who did that? And the guy said, Mike says, well, I know the guy. Let me go ahead and talk to him for you. So he connected me with the fellow that appreciated the piece and said, so I got on the phone with him after a couple of conversations. We had a deal, an agreement, and I made myself about $300 off a commission.
That's so great.
I was like, yeah, holy mackerel. If I can do commission work here while isolated, you know, just think of how much I can do. So, you know, art has been a part of my life for a long time. I mean, ever since I was, you know, super young. And I've taken all of the art classes that I could when I was in school. When I went to college, I, you know, declared my major was going to be graphic design. So I really kind of haven't stopped that. I've got a couple of hockey jerseys just because I like really in-your-face, ostentatious logos.
Yeah, I like how your stuff is, it's all bright and fun and colorful. And I think you even use the word whimsy in your profile.
Yeah.
Pretty cool stuff to look at. I'm imagining now, because I go to a lot of coffee shops and get my, I just do like the plain, I get like the plain latte with the extra shot, because I'm not into like the sweet flavoring and all that. But when I'm sitting there, I always see art, and it's usually like from the local artists, and they're up on the walls, and they're usually for sale. And I'm always kind of a little nervous, because I know if I walk up to it and I kind of peek behind it, it's going to say the price. And I'm always hoping it's, you know, $100 or 50. And then if it says like 1,800, then it's always disappointing, because I'm like, oh man, I can't afford it.
Yeah.
But 300's like right up my alley, man. That's like right, that's a sweet spot for art, I think. And to be able to sell it in the visiting room.
Yeah, well, they were like $100 a piece. I felt pretty proud of myself.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
You should be proud. Hey, this is going to sound a little strange, but we've got a lot of people that listen to this podcast who, yeah, they're out here in the free world. They're not locked up right now, but they listen, and they've got a lot of stuff going on in their life. They got depression. They have, you know, they're going through a divorce. And I know it sounds weird, but it's actually therapeutic for a lot of people. And I understand completely to hop on here and find a pen pal who's incarcerated or otherwise detained, as the case may be.
Right.
And so they're going through stuff and they're listening to this now. And I know a lot of the therapists are, you know, they tell you, oh, well, you need to find a hobby or be creative. And a lot of them, it's just like they don't know how to start, or they don't, they think, I'd like to try art, but they think I'm a terrible artist and I'd probably be terrible. And so, I mean, you're in this position now where you're actually selling your stuff. You've gotten some great pieces. What would you tell, like, say, a depressed woman who's going through a shitty time in life? And, like, what's the best way to get started?
Well, for starting out as a craft, first of all, you find something you love. Find something you enjoy or something you want to enjoy. Like, say, for instance, playing a guitar, or you want to, you know, knit or crochet or, you know, cross-stitch, whatever the case may be, paint, whatever the case may be. Get yourself a sketchbook. It's a cheap set of charcoal pencils, you know, various grades of, you know, hardness, and start sketching some stuff out and practice, 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 clearly. I'll take a blank canvas and I'll be like, you know, I kind of got this idea. And so I'll go ahead and do the background. I'll take either white charcoal or black charcoal pencil, depending on the color of the background, and go ahead and just rough sketch something out there. Now, it could be a dragon. It could be, you know, a face. It could be, you know, just some weird-ass random shapes. And I'll be like, okay. And as I'm working through it, it's like, okay, does this fit this space? Does that fit that space? Does it border correctly? Is it centered in just a fashion?
Uh-huh.
And then I'll start picking my colors. And, you know, just as kind of the muse goes with me, it's like, you know what, I'm feeling in this mood today. I'm feeling a little blue, but I'd like to throw a little yellow in there.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Those are very complementary, contrasty colors. And so within those realms of brightness or darkness, you know, shines through that mode or that mood, I should say, of, you know, what I'm feeling in the moment. So, you know, when I have a bright yellow coffee cup picture, that's like, you know what, I'm feeling really good today. I want to share this, and, you know, hopefully, you know, people can that resonates with people, like, cheer up, perk up, you know, it's going to be it's going to be a good day. This is something you want to look at right when you wake up in the morning.
Hey, so you're one of an artist, you know, I hear about these artists all the time that as they're painting something or creating something, and let's say you're halfway done, you're around a bunch of people there. Are you one of these guys that you don't want people to see what you're working on until it's finished?
No, I am absolutely not. I like to show people my progress. I sit out here in some of the day rooms and, you know, people, there's a couple of guys that actually do art with me, so to speak,
okay.
Not on my stuff, but they have their own processes and whatnot. And we just share. We just sit in the space with each other and just kind of do our thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's music, sometimes there's not. Sometimes there's a little conversation. Sometimes we're just kind of zoned out in the, you know, in the mode. And no, I'm not at all shy about, you know, showing my progress. I like to get feedback from people. I have a roommate, Tom White, who also has a profile on Buzz.
He's one of our favorites at St. Peter, our second or third favorite there, Tom White, yes.
So, yeah, and we're two peas in a pod, he and I, really, but He started doing, a couple of months ago, I gave him some of my small 8x10s and some acrylic paints to go ahead and throw some stuff on, and he actually did pretty good. He painted himself a nice little puppy dog, and it's like, that's kind of cool. He's got it hanging on his wall, and man, I really like this. Do you mind if I do more of that? Not at all. So I got to buy some more materials and things. But it's great to see somebody else, you know, share that passion with me as well, you know, in that space and be like, you know what? They've got their own style. They've got their own, you know, topics or themes they like, but, you know, they're getting into it. So, yeah.
And if he ever becomes rich and famous, you can always be like, hey, I'm the guy that got him started, you know? So that's always good. What's the process there been like for, I know you have a lot of rules and restrictions, but how do you go about getting the art supplies, and what can or can't you get? Is there a limit? Is there restrictions?
There is a limit. We have a property list that says you can have so large of a tube of paint. You can have your brushes have to be so long and things of that nature. And your canvases can only be a certain size, things of that nature. So you got to work within those parameters. But honestly, if you're a creative person, you will figure out, you know, if there's a will, there's a way. You know, necessity is the mother of invention. All of those adages really do come into play when you're trying to be creative and get something out there and do something you're proud of within the restrictions that, you know, that we're given.
You're going to laugh at me, but when I was going through my dark time a few years back, I'm a terrible artist. They always told me that. But, Ben, I bought this fantastic paint by numbers. And let me tell you, this thing was hard. It took me like six months to do it, but the thing is freaking gorgeous. The hard part was to get a paintbrush small enough to go into these little tiny areas, you know, that I had to do. But the thing is gorgeous now, and it looks like I'm a real artist. And only if you get really close can you see the numbers. So as long as you're about 10 feet back, man, the thing's like a masterpiece.
The thing that leads into art as well and my love of animals is that for a short time I was actually a dog groomer. At Petco when I was out back in, 21.
Dog groomers are going to hate me for this because I love dogs. I had Daniela was my last dog, and I grew up with a German short hair pointer named Ralph. And I love dogs.
Yep.
They're amazing. But the thought of cleaning the anal glands with my fingers, that's always bothered me. And I thought, I don't think I could do as much as I love them. I don't want to get my finger, you know, in that area.
Yeah. Well,
how was that job for you? Did that go okay?
Well, it was funny, isn't it? So I was at Petco, and this lady called up. She says, do you guys do expressions? And I said, yeah, it's actually our favorite thing to do. It's not, but I told her that. and
I love
she goes, all right. And I said, have you been here before? She goes, no. I said, well, when you bring a dog in, make sure you get your records, your rabies, all that kind of stuff. We need to see documentation and things of that, you know, before we get all, you know, get all involved. She's like, oh, okay. Yeah, my husband's kind of a tight ass about some of that stuff. I'm sure it's around here. And without hesitation, I said, so who are we expressing now? So, it's not a bad thing. It's just, you know, you just basically just pinch the pooper a little bit. Just kind of get in. You don't have to stick your finger in the hole or nothing. It just
hashtag pinch the pooper. That's going to be on all over X
that's
now.
Right, pinch the pooper.
That's a new thing.
There you go. There you go.
Man, Ben, it's so great that you can keep a sense of humor through this all and have such a positive attitude. I really admire that. I know you wanted to focus primarily on your childhood, your upbringing, kind of who you are as a person, but you've been in this civil commitment place for so long. I feel like that's such a big part of your life now. And I really would like people to sort of understand this a little better. If you want to go back and listen to my initial interview with Ben, penpalpodcast.com, you can find it on episode 6. It was way back in July 29th, actually, of 2024. You hear about civil commitment and what they've been doing, where they basically will, once you finish your sentence, they just keep you in this facility, which is exactly like a prison, except they find a workaround and say, oh, it's not a prison, it's a treatment facility. Now, Ben, I know you helped actually come up with a lawsuit, a federal suit, right? And I was hoping you could just shed some light about that, and then I want to get into your spirituality and all that. We'll finish the show.
Basically, we made a federal case out of it, literally. On the upfront of it was about the conditions of confinement and about how everything is, you know, we've got bars on the window, we've got, you know, razor wire, we got fencing, everything's centralized dining, all of the things that are in either a jail or a prison. However, within all of that storyline, what occurred was that because the case was getting so much attention, the program and the courts decided it would be best for them to show a good faith effort and start to let people out. And so they did that. So we didn't win the case itself, but in a sense, we basically won our freedom, so to speak. And that has been more of the mainstay and the focus. However, now that we've won our freedom, it's about the expediency of it, partially. It takes about 3 years once you file to get through the court process to actually get a hearing date and then, you know, actually get signed off by the authorities that make the decisions to actually do that. And in the middle of that, of course, there are things like accessibility to, say, for instance, email. A lot of the prisons have that. We don't.
I'm just,
we don't have, like,
I'm so confused. Yeah. I'm confused over here, Ben. And I know people heard, or if they didn't hear, they can go back and listen to our original interview where we discussed a lot of the civil commitment, you know, things that actually happen, which to me are just mind-boggling, but we won't go into that too much because I know it was like, you told me once I was preaching to the choir, and I know that's true, but I mean, but you mentioned you won your freedom, and I'm trying to, I don't understand what freedom is this. So you feel like you have this freedom now, but you have to wait 3 years to maybe have someone hear your petition. And then in those 3 years, you can't email. And we tried to send you a printout from your profile, and it had like pictures of your own artwork in the profile that were little thumbnails, which are probably about an inch by an inch, because and they tell you you're not allowed to have thumbnail photos.
Yeah, no. On that note, which is I'm interesting you brought that up because we every year some of our policies get reviewed on a recurring basis. The policy that said, as far as the media is concerned, that said we can't have thumbnails, as of next month when it kicks in, we can have thumbnails. So, but that doesn't alleviate the fact that I couldn't get what you sent me already. I had to send that out or destroy it or whatever.
Hang on a second. They were so happy to hear about the thumbnails, Ben. They were so happy about that. That's wonderful news. You can get thumbnails.
Yeah.
But you still got bars on the window. You'll have your thumbnails, but you'll have bars on the window, right? And let's just so we can be clear in case people that didn't hear the previous pot, but just briefly, you're not there. You're not there serving a sentence for any crime you were convicted of. You already served all of your time. And now you're just there because they say, we think you might do something bad in the future. We don't know, but we'll just lock you up forever in this place.
For in general, the general purpose of civil commitment is that you have to be civilly committed if you are in danger of to yourself or to someone else. That's the way the law is. So even though we're not here because we've hurt somebody, that is what prison is for, right? That's the after effect or the consequence of, you know, causing harm to someone or something and all that kind of stuff. But now, because of an individual by the name of Rodriguez, declared that he was going to reoffend, got out of prison, reoffended, and they were like, the state was like, oh, we can never let that happen again. So what is it that we can put in place, or do we already have in place, that we can curtail that and stop that from ever happening? Now, mind you, this is what happened before we filed a federal case.
Right.
So when that happened, there was a huge ramp up of civil commits, people taken off the street that were just doing their time on parole, whatever the case may be. Oh, you have a sexual offense? We are going to go ahead and evaluate you, and on the premise that you might reoffend again.
Yeah, passing those evaluations, Ben, is sort of like somebody passing the DUI sobriety test on the side of the road. That's just not going to happen. And it's like somebody passing the sleep apnea test when they have you sleep with the thing. You're just always going to fail that no matter what.
And the legal standard of the commitment is clear and convincing, not evidence of proof. So you don't need proof of harm to commit somebody. You just need clear and convincing evidence that they may do it in the future.
I'm convinced that if I were locked up in St. Peter with you for a crime that I've already served my time for, because somebody with a master's degree, probably from a online school that, paid a little extra to get it done in 6 months, just decides that I'm a danger because they have some title of a clinical social worker, and they just decide, Big Steve is a danger. And I'm convinced if I was there, I probably would be a danger to a lot of people, because I'd be freaking pissed off, Ben, that I'm stuck at St. Peter and they're calling me a client.
Well,
you're not an inmate. You're just a client here at our treatment center, but no email, and these phone calls can only be 15 minutes. And by the way, you got to wait 30 minutes between phone calls, and you can't have thumbnails until March. And March will give you thumbnails.
Well, yeah.
We got just a few minutes. You want to tell everybody, you mentioned a little bit about your Northern tradition, spirituality.
So raised in a conservative Christian home, but we were always taught to, seek out education, learn about things, never stop asking questions, things of that nature. So I've done that. Throughout my life, I've been, kind of curious about different cultures, different spiritualities and things of that nature, because what I knew was what I knew and nothing else beyond that. So when I got into the big wide world, as I got older, I'm like, oh, well, there's a lot of gray area out here. It's not as black and white as it was, living at home. And with a lot of those conservative principles and whatnot. So long story short, I come across the Northern tradition, or more traditionally known as Asatru. Contrary to a lot, and I'm not saying every group in the institution is like this, but there are a few that kind of have a politically oriented skew that can be difficult when trying to get out of the institution and representing appropriately. So the things that I've learned that across the board that a lot of beliefs and cultures have in common are pride in community, pride in self, safety, a lot of those things. And so it's kind of strange that, a lot of these spiritual wars and things of that nature, and I know I'm getting political here, continue to be happening despite the fact that there's so many commonalities that we can just agree on. It's just, a matter of style of worship or what have you.
You have 1 minute remaining.
Anyway, so briefly, I am not an individual of the mind that I like it here, that I enjoy it by any means. I have fought. I have done my time in the battle. I have been to my soapbox. Don't get that wrong. But I do have the mentality and the wherewithal of my, I don't want to say my personal well-being, in that there are certain things I don't have control of, and there are certain things I do. And I'm trying to focus on getting back out to the free world where I have been before. I had a job. I can do all those things. And that's kind of where my focus is on right now, rather than very systemic stuff. I will help people if they have asked questions. If they want to write a grievance, I can do that. I can help. I do that all the time. That being said, I'm also know where my focus is for myself, and maybe it's selfish, that I am trying to focus on my family and getting out there and getting back to life.
Oh, God, I hope. Please be selfish. I mean, we need you to be selfish now with all this going on. But we're out of time, but it's penpals.buzz/alfsonart. And you can see everything Ben's loaded to our site and learn everything about you, right, Ben, in that one bio that you wrote.
Yep, and shouts out to Kenny DeWitt and Tom White. Check them out. They also have profiles on the Buzz.
Your profile's so thoughtful. You have a lot of things. You deserve the best. You should feel valued. You deserve to be loved. good lessons for people to think about and remember.
Penpals.buzz/AlsonArt.
And they can get right to you. They can also go to that SEMVA, is it SEMVA, the art gallery in Minnesota, and see all of your amazing stuff. And we've got some of your art on the website as well. I know we're out of time. I'm sure we'll talk again very soon.
Thank you for using GTL.
It's lockdown time for Big Steve, but he'll be back soon with another edition of the Penpals.buzz Prison Pen Pal podcast. To be a guest on our show, email podcast@penpals.buzz or call 888-2-PENPAL. Penpals.buzz is a division of Snaptura Inmate Services.